Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try, and they're trying very hard. Go to HagmanReport.com for all of your video and audio needs. Click on the banner on top that says the program, the video, the thing. And just click on that banner just above the stories there. And
you know the thing.
That thing. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Sleepy, creepy Joe. Go sniff somebody else's hair. All right. That's the, Hagman Report, or HagmanReport.com. And they'll take you to HagmanReport/videos if you really want to know. But, they're all there. Now, I made a faux pas yesterday, or a mistake. I don't know what the heck I was doing, but there's a whole lot of, buttons to push, and I pushed the wrong ones, and I didn't get the proper video, that was on Rumble into Hagman Report, and somehow, I don't know what I did, but I undid it. It's on Hagman Report now with yesterday with John Moore. So you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the video for John Moore, and there it is.
Just give him a break.
Give me a break.
He has trouble with elevator buttons, let alone computer buttons. One, two.
I'll be working on my colors next.
It's like a Christmas tree.
Well, yeah. And you know, don't forget the karaoke. I want a side of karaoke with that. Oh, don't ask. Don't ask. If you don't know, don't ask. All right. So, here's the other thing too. Today's our last regular show. Now I stress regular. You're going to see some amazing things happen with Hagman Report as we enter into the most dangerous time in modern American history. And I think that that's where we're at. We are going to take tomorrow off. Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving. I have to give Eric the Tech a break. He's looking for a clock tower. He's got a high powered rifle and I've got to talk him down. seriously, Eric the Tech's the hardest working guy I know, but seriously, he needs a break. So, we are going to take that time off for family time because after this, it's going to be, balls to the walls. I'm telling you, it is. Now, next week is off because my daughter's having a baby girl. And yes, thank you. Eric is my son-in-law, of course. So he's going to be with her. So the regular programming like this won't look like this, but the guy that's with me right now is going to be co-hosting a lot with me from my office, and that's Randy Taylor, analyst Randy Taylor. Welcome in, right?
Or maybe he's Corn Pop.
Bad dude, right? Bad dude?
More of a Raisin Bran kind of guy.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
I'm going to start calling you Corn Pop there.
No, you're not.
hey, before I get going here, I want to take care of a little bit of business. I want to thank you supporters for keeping us on the air. I want to thank our corporate sponsors as well. Lightstream, folks, the average interest rate in credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Oh man. Yeah. Go ahead and look. You know, it's over 19% APR on most of your credit cards. You can refinance your high interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream saved my butt, saved the butts of many people here in the studio, as well as people that I've talked to on the street. Rates start at 5.95% APR with auto pay. Okay. And excellent credit. Now, the rate's fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. Plus, there are no fees. $5,000 to $100,000. Take your pick. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Now, here's how to do it. My listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM.com/Hagman. And this subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit terms and conditions apply, and other offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, for more information. You will thank me later. All right, number of things to get into. Lockdown for Thanksgiving. Governor Tom, dictator, fascist, tyrannist, enemy of the people, in my view, Wolf of Pennsylvania, and his counterpart, Cousin It, saying, hey, bars, you know.
You know the thing.
Exactly. The thing. And you know what? I do suspect from memory, the thing from the movies looks exactly like Cousin It, who is a science denying.
Sexy.
Yeah. I gotta go take a shower now. Saying, hey, bars, you know, it's the biggest night of year. It's the biggest profit, revenue generating night. We're going to shut you down at 5 o'clock Wednesday, and you ain't going to open back up until I tell you. And when I tell you, it's, you know, too bad for you. Randy Taylor, I want to show you something. This is video two, actually. Yeah, I'm screwing with you, right? I had him, Randy Taylor, New Jersey. Okay, so here's, let me set this up. Randy, I think you've probably seen this. The governor of New Jersey, you got to lock down, you got to stay home, we're going to fine you, you got to wear a face mask, and you better damn well have that face mask on when I see you, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you stay home, you can't travel, don't go out of state, do everything I tell you to do, or we will send the police after you. Well, guess what? This tyrant decided to take his family and have dinner where? In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, one lady wasn't having any of it. Take a look at this.
Oh my God, it is.
Hey, how you
and
doing?
Excuse
God,
the language.
Murphy, how you doing?
Such a dick.
You're having
you
fun
are.
With your family. In the meantime, you're having all kind of other bullshit
Holly,
going on. Holy
shit.
A little too drunk?
No, I'm not drunk, as a matter of fact.
Can you put your mask on? Please?
You can go fuck yourself. How's that?
Well, you don't have a mask on.
You know why I don't need a mask? Because there ain't nothing
like
fucking
Trump,
wrong with me.
I like your Trump fucking.
You're fucking right to do.
That's who Trump likes. He likes my
mask. Yeah, he does. No, he doesn't like your
face. He does.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
That's what we need to do. You want to have dinner out without a mask with your family because you're special? You're not special. Well, first of all, you're nothing. You are a public friggin' servant. You serve us. We don't serve you. That's number one. You better understand that.
Maybe we should offer him a saran wrap mask.
Plastic friggin' bag over his head. Garbage bag. What do you think of that, Randy Taylor?
Oh, absolutely. The hypocrisy. But this is getting to be the norm. We're seeing it all the time. Pelosi at the hair salon. This one here. We've had a couple other instances with mayors. We had problems with, who's that? Cuomo up there in New York?
Cuomo. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all over the
place.
Brother
Fredo. Yeah.
I understand they're not wearing a mask at the table. I've been in areas with mask restrictions and, you wear the mask to the restaurant, you sit down, you can take the mask off. But if you get up to use the washroom, restroom, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. Perfect sense to me. Right.
But saying stay at home and then leaving New Jersey and going to Philadelphia. Really strong. That really sends the wrong message. You're getting more of that do as I say, not as I do. It's just like Newsom, out there in California. You saw that.
Yeah.
He got popped and then he gets up and he did what that clown Trudeau does. Just, oh, well, yeah, I was wrong. And yeah, I should have used better judgment, you know, and they're automatically forgiven by the left, where if it was a Republican, or, any conservative did the same thing, they'd talk about it for weeks. So it's just more examples of the hypocrisy of the left.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm glad the lady handed him his ass. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Well, don't send me, well, there was bad language. You know, it's offensive language. Well, you know what I'm offended at? I'm offended at the number of Americans who acquiesce to, who agree to live on their knees. Mm-hmm. What the hell's up with that? Okay, so we've got this science denying whatever it is, saying, well, we're going to shut down the bars. Which, look, I don't drink. Okay, I don't drink. For a lot of reasons, I don't drink, and it's medically related. I just don't drink. So you're going to ruin small businesses. Randy, help me out here. Whatever, I don't even know what pronoun to use. Okay. The thing.
I don't think they really care, because the goal of the left, and you get really need, let's step outside the United States and look around, because bear in mind, I don't just watch the United States. I watch all the countries.
Oh, hold that thought, because it's people like you and me here in the United States watching other places. Got something to show you. This happened in Germany.
Yep.
Okay. You saw this, right? Okay. Folks, if you don't think that you're going to be subjected to this in the United States, and some already have been, then you're wrong. Look what happened in Germany, shall we? Now, this is a doctor talking about COVID. He's doing a podcast right now.
And jetzt?
Somebody's at the door. Go answer. Oh, wait. It's the police.
Ja, ich weiß nicht, was los ist.
Das ist doch
gerade ein Chef.
Guck mal, wir haben vorhin über Angst gesprochen.
Moment, hier ist gerade die Polizei, bricht gerade die Tür auf.
Polizei! Ich will die Hände sehen! Auf den Boden, runter, Beine! Runter auf den Boden! Geh runter!
Yep.
Zwei Personen hier!
Yeah, right?
Am Boden liegen bleiben! Wie sind Ihre Namen?
Wie heißen Sie? Some German Schweinhund. Huh?
Wie heißen Sie?
Ich bin Andreas Noack.
It's Dr. Andreas Noack.
Sollst du irgendwelche Messer, Waffen, irgendwas einstecken?
Nein.
He's arrested because he's non-compliant with COVID-19 lockdown laws enacted by the government during a live stream broadcast. His views on the authoritarian COVID-19 rules, the German police broke down his door and arrested him. It's called the Infection Protection Law. What do you think, man?
Like the SS.
Hmm?
Look like the SS in 1940.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Anybody that goes against the grain is subject to this kind of behavior. It's going to happen. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. And, we're standing up against it. We're not going to comply. So
we haven't seen. You haven't really seen anything yet. Wait till they get down to people that refuse the vaccine. Stop and think about that. What's going to happen? They're already up north talking about putting people in like camps,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that don't want to take the vaccine.
Oh yeah.
I don't understand it. Like vaccines have always been, for the most part, except for school children, have been optional, you know. What happened to my body, my choice?
Oh, there it is.
You know, and now you're going to tell me I have to have a vaccine. And if I don't have a vaccine, you're going to lock me up.
Yeah. And I'll be damned if that's going to happen.
And even if they don't lock you up, forbid you from buying and selling and everything, just like it's the mark of the beast, you know, with all the same caveats, you're not going to be able to buy, sell or trade without having your COVID card, you know.
It's called a freedom pass in the UK, by the way.
Well, there's a lot of things going on if you look at it really. It makes make me uncomfortable. There's a definite attack on religion.
Well, you know, the churches should just say they're strip clubs, and there wouldn't be any problem.
Right, but there is. I mean, there's an organized attack on religion. They don't. If the government, and this is historically true, anytime that there's a tyrannical government, one of the first things they do is go after anything that's faith based. Because you're going to find a. If there's resistance at any level in a faith-based organization, it will spread throughout the organization. It will become dominant. And I think that's a lot of the reason why there's been an attack on the church. They had to, I think this is, whoever came up with the COVID plan was actually brilliant. I hate to say that.
No, evilly so, yes.
Yes, in a very evil way, because when it comes to Americans, the United States, and the typical citizenry, you can't just rush in and try and take over. You will get your ass stomped flat into the ground. That's just how it is.
Right.
But when they bring something in, and carefully and quietly convince you that it's for your own benefit and your own safety. That's why they've suckered so many people into this. If people could see this COVID-19, this scandemic on demand for what it really is, you know, it would fight it as hard as if somebody was kicking in their front door. But they're not, they don't see that because your front door is not being kicked in. They snuck in your back door, and you let them sit down at the table, and you prepared them dinner.
Good point.
And that's exactly where we're at with this. It wasn't a frontal assault. It was this was like stealth jihad. That's what almost makes you wonder who's behind it. This was very stealthily done. There was not a shot fired. And they've managed to get entire populations to submit. Surrender their rights, surrender their privileges. This is insane.
You know, I have to tell you this. I had a meeting. It was yesterday. I had to meet two individuals for a specific purpose other than any of this. In fact, neither one of us had previously met before. Okay, the two individuals knew each other. I never met me. I never met them. They knew nothing of me. I knew little of them, nothing of them. And it had to do with something totally outside of what we're doing. And, these are regular, hardworking American people. And, when we met, I said, you know, I see you're not wearing masks. I want to thank you for that. And I'm glad, I suspect you're not, falling for the lies. And the one of the two looked at me, leaned in and said, you've got no idea the hell that's about to rain upon these bastards that are keeping us down. Or trying to keep us down. And this is an individual that you wouldn't look twice at walking down the street. This is a person who is in the business community that is, as far as you could tell, would be apolitical. I'm telling you, it's about to hit the fan. It really is. I just want to tell you that.
In the street, it's going to be the regular person, the Joe Schmo. It's not going to be G.I. Joe. It's going to be the regular people. It's the regular people that are getting stepped on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they talk about the silent majority. It is because it is a silent majority. But one day the silent majority will speak out. Right now we have no idea what's going on. Someone made a comment. Somewhere, I don't remember where it was in the last couple of days, it said, if China wanted to attack us, now would be the time.
Why not? Well, I think, you know what, though? I would say a better time would be once Biden, if all things go south and Biden somehow, you know, takes the inauguration, which I'm not thinking that's going to necessarily happen.
But you don't know. You don't know. You have to have a plan B.
Well, but true. But Biden has got, Biden has got all the people in his cabinet or in selected this faux cabinet, that are compromised by the Communist Chinese Party.
Well, not just that. When you look at the people, I saw a lineup this morning on Fox News of the people, of some of the people he was bringing in. And it's an exact replay of the Obama administration. He's more interested in, gaining or achieving some sort of social metric in his cabinet, you know, with blacks and foreigners and this and that. And you know what? I think if you're qualified, that's cool. But I've been looking at some of the people he's pulling up in the cabinets, you know, they're thinking for cabinet positions. I just don't see where they're qualified. And they were actually talking about giving a position to Susan Rice. Who in the hell would invite her back into the political arena? This is so swamp. I don't even know how to that's all I know how to describe it. It's swamp. And I was looking across names, and they're names that I know. I may not know a lot about each person, but I know enough that I don't want them running the country. I don't want him having any say so. We've got to get away from novelty politics. It really has to happen. Novelty politics has to stop. Okay. People need to be in there that are qualified. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are, but you need to be qualified. And I need to see something more on your hiring sheet than we needed more black people in here, or we needed some Muslims in here, or we wanted to have more diversity. I don't give a damn about diversity. I really don't. I give a damn about qualifications.
But I think it's even worse than that. When, you know, I agree with you on that 100%. But when you have, General Mattis, for example, saying we must eliminate America first from U.S. foreign policy, tell me, well, there's nothing you can tell me.
Well, he likes war.
Yeah.
This is what people aren't really grasping. We're going to be right back in the same place we were with ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
That's right.
They're not gone. They're just afraid to stick their head up with Trump in office. We're going to be right back facing them. And when I say that, we're either going to be fighting them or financing them. Because when it's the Democrats, there's no telling. You know, we know, we go back and we trace, you know, we can run money right back from the left back to ISIS. Mm-hmm. You know, creating that monster over there in Syria. And if I don't know why people think that it's going to be any different. These people are getting bolder and bolder and bolder, and people like Biden, they're wrong. We already know that he's dishonest. We already know that. We know that his son likes to make deals where the family prospers. It's only going to get worse. That's one thing that Trump had that the others didn't. Trump didn't need your money. Trump didn't need anybody's money. Trump couldn't be bought. Plain and simple. And that's it. And that's huge. Because when we see these presidents that are, you know, like this Obama, guy's worth a ton of money now. For some of those, just a shitty president. Okay. Biden, he's worth a lot of money. His kids got a ton of money. And this isn't from being a politician, except for the dark side of politics.
Yeah, that's right.
This wasn't drawn as his paycheck in DC. Everything is so out of balance here. And I can't believe these people voted for him. I just said, I don't.
Well,
I
okay. Don't. Speaking of votes, and this is so, okay. So folks, look, Randy Taylor is an analyst. That's his background. He's an analyst with the Hagman Report. Independent, but associated with the Hagman Report, to an extent. Okay. So working together, I know his absolute astounding capabilities. And believe me, he's got them. Now, having said that, he sent over a video and that I think is important at this point to introduce. This is from One American News Network. And you had mentioned something, you know, the election. You had mentioned about the election. And this will, here's my, I don't want to say prediction, but reasoned assessment as to what may happen. It may happen that the legal team might face challenges from Black Robe activists, not be able to get things together before election or inauguration day, before December 14th. Okay. And it looks like, okay, it's going to go south for President Trump. Then if, and this is a big if, and I'm not advocating this and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if, for example, Biden is sworn in, and then all of a sudden, some, let's say February, March, in that time period, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, others, Lynn Wood come out with this boatload of evidence that absolutely cast out. Because remember, 30% of Democrats and 79% of Republicans identified as such believe this election was stolen. Then I think then fire from heaven and hell is going to rain upon the earth. But let's take a look at the video that you sent. And because folks, this is the stuff Randy Taylor finds on a first hand basis and can confirm, not necessarily this, but can confirm this is going on. Go ahead and play that clip.
One America, Chanel Rian speaks with founder of FEC United, Joel Altman, who made a bombshell discovery about a key member of Dominion's leadership.
Joe, you infiltrated an Antifa conference call this past September and accidentally came upon a top Dominion voting systems executive named Eric Coomer. Describe that call and what it led you to find.
It was interesting how the call started. Someone says, who's Eric? He says, Eric's a Dominion guy. Someone actually said, yeah, hey, go ahead. I told him to continue speaking. And someone interrupts and says, what are we going to do if effing Trump wins? And Eric responds, and I'm paraphrasing this, by the way, don't worry about the election. Trump is not going to win. I made effing sure of that. And then they started laughing and somebody says, effing right. At that point, I thought to myself, you know, this guy's crazy. These people are crazy because they think that they are, you know, Jedi warriors and they can just will themselves to Trump not winning.
Fast forward to just after the election, Altman sees an article concerning Georgia's last-minute Dominion voting software updates. The article cites Eric speaking on behalf of Dominion. Altman remembers his September call and begins to dig deeper.
But I did do research on Eric, and so I just put it a simple Google search to start, which was Eric Dominion, Denver, Colorado. And Eric Coomer came up immediately under Dominion voting systems. Anytime that there was a press release, Eric Coomer was the one giving that press release. Anytime that they were pitching the product to different municipalities, he was the one pitching the product. And I'm talking about Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, you name it, his name pops up everywhere.
The real shocker came when Altman found Coomer's Facebook posts.
And when I got access to his Facebook, you get that sinking feeling like what this is crazy. Here's the director of security and of strategy and security at Dominion. And when I got into his Facebook page, that's when things really started to kind of come together for me that, you know, that Eric Coomer was this, you know, that he was not just Antifa. He was responsible for putting his finger on the scales of our election.
Posts including the Antifa manifesto, vitriolic posts against all Trump voters, song links like Dead Prez and F the Police and F the USA. Altman says Coomer had the title and the power to exercise his vitriol through Dominion. If Coomer is investigated and found to have indeed tampered with a presidential election, such an action could be tried for treason. Unfortunately, the question is, will the FBI step up to investigate? For more on this interview and others, tune in for OAN's upcoming investigation on Dominion. Chanel Rion, One American News, Washington.
Randy Taylor, thank you for that that video. Your thoughts?
That's there is such a huge subversive group behind this. It's going to take a while to investigate and pull it all out. The problem is that, you know, as of January 20th, we've got to stick a dingling in office, possibly. I don't know what's going to happen. We've got almost, it's almost as if there's a two-pronged strategy here. Giuliani's taking one way and Powell's going in another way. Giuliani, I think his actions are more going to, he's going to try and make a more immediate actions, possibly, you know, before the end of the year, before the 20th, where Sidney Powell and that gang, because there's been a split in the legal team, but it looks like Sidney Powell is going to go more after the criminal action and the more of the long-term investigation. I mean, she's been investigating this for a long time. I just sent you a thing on that Eric Coomer. I just sent it to Eric, to our Eric, Eric Coomer, and he's in a video on YouTube showing people how to change the votes in the Dominion voting machines. So that's something we can pull up on the next show.
Okay, Eric's going to get that. Eric, the tech, is going to get that ready. I'm looking at this right now. I think this might
but this, be. This is really deep. If you stop and think about it, I mean, I know it was a Denver-based company to begin with, this Dominion thing, but we're also, you know, you've got an office up here in Toronto. These people have vanished. These yes. executives and all, they've vanished. I don't know.
Well, again,
I would love to go look in the offices and see who's around. I would love to have a tap on that.
Crossing the border. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. But one day I'll get up there. But I have people up there. I would just like to.
Okay, that video's ready. Go ahead and let's play that because that was a good find. Here you go, folks.
Handle everything currently digitally. This is our digital adjudication system. If you have multiple ICCs, ImageCast Central's running. They all write the data to a network drop location, and you can have multiple adjudication stations for multiple teams to handle the outstack ballots. This is a typical voter intent issue where they didn't fill out the ovals completely. They just made little tick marks. It's what's called an ambiguous mark. And what we're saying is we're not sure what the voter intent is, but we're going to allow the adjudicators to make that call based on any kind of state statutes. So right on the screen, I can go ahead and say, you know what? The voter meant to mark those. They wanted those votes to count for those candidates. I can do the back page. I'm not going to fill all of them in here. And then I hit complete. It's going to go on to the next ballot. And this is another classic one where the voter has filled the names instead of filling in the ovals. Any ballot that needs to be looked at will show up automatically on the screen. Some key things here. This is a great tool for doing things like audits and recounts. Okay, so things like 5% recounts these days. We have an entire additional system that works very similar to the adjudication product, but it's for reviewing ballots. So you can select whether you want to filter by precinct, a random selection of precincts, or just a random sampling of ballots across the whole election to actually audit. We're doing that to support things. The buzzword in the industry these days are risk limiting audits. It's a statistical way of auditing election results. And we can support that through this system as well.
That's the guy. Man. Come on, man. That's the guy that said, I'm going to fix it so President Trump is never, or it will not win re-election. That's the guy who said that.
Yeah, and then he's showing you how he can do it.
There you go. And it's not for audits.
No, and there's so many people out here that are pundits and all that go on about the certifications of this election, the integrity, the updates. And there were some people that I've seen that are, oh, there's no way that fraud happened through the machines. It couldn't happen. And I'm thinking, hey, an idiot. Really, if there is a computer program, it can be hacked. If there's anything, there's always backdoors. I, for someone to even say something like that only further proves why I tell you they shouldn't have voting cards. We are faced with a deluge of stupid people on our planet. We are surrounded by them. And when they say things like that, like, well, there's just no way that that could happen, you're a moron. You know, that's great. And I'll tell you what, if that's the case, give me your bank card because we must be safe. I don't understand it. But that video right there is very damaging to this Eric Coomer and to Dominion. That right there, to anybody in the legal system or a judge or anyone like that, that might try and knock down a person like Giuliani coming in and saying, look, I need you to pay attention to what I'm showing you. A video like that should open the door to everything. Because he's sitting there telling you, this is how we can tabulate, we can check, and we can change. I don't know what else you need. I'm surprised that the lawsuits that they've brought forward thus far, and only a few,
right,
haven't gained more footing. I don't understand what you need, okay? We have a body laying there, which is the election, okay? We've got all these crisscrossing stories and numbers around it and this and that and the other thing. Those are the wounds in that body. Why aren't we looking at this? Why don't we think there was a crime? This is what I don't get it. Where are all these judges, too, that Trump's appointed?
In the body, in the death, cause of death, being ruled natural by these activist judges.
Yeah, if they're even acknowledging that somebody died, you know, that the election died. Of course, they'll just stick a COVID-19 tag on it, send it to the morgue.
And collect your money, you know, as you pass go. That's right.
Because everything's dying from COVID-19 today.
Sure, a guy fell off a ladder. And, you know,
COVID-19.
Yeah.
We don't die from the flu anymore. And you notice nobody talks about suicides. And you can't tell me that suicides aren't off the charts with people being locked down.
Oh, they are. Breitbart has something on.
But, I'm surprised somebody even talked about it.
Yeah. Breitbart this was within the last 24 hours, about a 43-year-old actually killed her. 43-year-old mother killed her teenage daughter and I think another younger child and turned the gun on herself or something. It's because of these lockdowns.
It's desperation. Yeah. It's desperation when you're losing everything you own, and these business people. I saw this great meme went around the other day on Twitter, and it said, since we're going into the second lockdown, why don't we shut down Walmart, Costco, and all the other big names and let the little guys have a chance at making money?
There you go.
I thought, there you go. Split it up, man. Break it up. Let's, you know, they're talking about, remember a little bit, just a little earlier in the show, we were talking about the loss of revenue and lockdowns and all that. Let me tell you why that doesn't scare the Democrats. And you've heard this. They keep talking about the Great Reset.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if there's going to be a Great Reset, that's going to be a financial reset because they keep saying, that Trudeau guy up north, he was talking about on the Great Reset, it was the financial, eliminating poverty. It was one of his key things in that little blurb that they had of him. And he said this, this wasn't, we're not speculating, the jackass said it. They're getting so bold, they just openly talk about it now. But he didn't want COVID-19 to go to waste because they had an opportunity to do the Great Reset. So if you think about that, then let's say they were going to reset the entire world economy. What a disaster to begin with. But let's say they were going to do that, then they really wouldn't care about running up a bill here. So they don't care about locking you down. They don't care if everything goes under. Because when this, after this Great Reset's done, don't laugh, because they're going to try and pull this off.
That's right.
When the Great Reset's done, chances are you aren't going to own anything.
Oh, I truly believe that. That's,
you're not going to owe anything, but you're also not going to own anything. Okay.
That's the plan.
And see that, if you notice, and if you think about it, when these companies are going under, okay, the need is still there. Our entire world, our world economy is based on supply and demand. Okay.
That's right.
You kill the supply. The demand is still there. So if you kill the supply intentionally, which is a collective ownership, or not collective ownership, individual ownerships, okay, right, of right. companies, and you collapse them, the demand is still there. So who's there to step in and pick it up? The big gigantic businesses or the government. It's going to be one of the two. Okay. Walmart's still in business. Amazon is still in business. Costco still in business. Little restaurants, and restaurants that we've known and loved all our lives, are going under.
Yes.
Okay. Corporations slower than franchisees, obviously. Your smaller franchise operations collapse first. First your mom and pops go. Then your franchises go. Okay. People aren't reading what's the handwriting is on the wall. Okay. They keep talking about it's going to get worse with Biden and the left. Okay. Just like up north, just like when you look across the sea, Germany and France, place like when you start getting into these socialist scenarios, all right, it's going to be very, very dangerous economically because. Especially think about how many people that the mom and pop shops employ. When I was Doug, you remember when I was an air conditioning contractor?
Yep.
I had 15 or 16 people working for me and making good wage, you know, enjoying life, man, great health insurance, all the bennies, all the perks. Well, I went under in 08 because of the economy. It got so bad in the state I was in. It just stomped my guts out. That's just, and so I have that as a learning tool. And I'm sitting here and I look around anywhere you look here in the United States, anywhere. Okay. When I see a business closes doors, a small business, it absolutely tugs at my heartstrings because I know the dream. I know the risk of going into business. You know it, Doug. That risk of putting your little nest egg together and starting with nothing and building it into something. And the blood, the sweat, the tears, the agony, the nights away from your family, the days away from your family, the weeks away sometimes, the gambles, the wins, the losses. You know, there's so much emotion. And hard work and just pouring your guts into it to make it work. And then, you know, it's one thing when it happens because let's say you're stupid and you go out of business.
Yeah.
Some guys start a business and then they'll go golfing and they wonder why they went out of business. But when I lost my business due to things beyond my control. Okay. In 2008, I had no control over the construction industry. You see, these poor people, when they're locked down and there's a decree, an illegal decree from above that you're going to be shut down, that's beyond your control.
But we can.
That's the worst feeling, Doug. That's all I'm saying.
No, it is the worst feeling. But if every business owner now, because I live in Pennsylvania, Northwest Pennsylvania, and I want to say this to Cousin It and Wolf and any municipal police agency that covers my jurisdiction. On Thanksgiving, I will violate every single provision of that illegal, unconstitutional mandate. I'm going to have people with me, no masks, no social distancing, and I will, and just a fair warning, every one of my guests will be armed. So we're going to have turkey legs and arms for Thanksgiving. So if you... Or, you know, and I could just see a neighbor saying, oh, we're going to call the police, you know, because this is bad. I guarantee you, all right, we're not, it will not be pleasant. I might not win, but I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you most of you won't either. At least some of you. And I'm not puffing my chest out and talking. But see, if we all stood up, Keith Brown in Oregon saying, you're going to be arrested if you, you know, are you serious? I mean, but see, Randy, if we all stood up, every thinking American who has an ounce of red-blooded patriotism in them, if we all stood up and said, screw you, take your unconstitutional mandates and shove them where the sun don't shine, we are going to live our lives not on our knees, but on our feet. And I dare you to come and shut us down. But we all have to do this together.
Well, that's the thing. And yes, they would come and shut you down. Yes, they would shut off.
Can't shut all of us down.
Well, they'd shut off. They would shut off blocks of electricity. There's all kinds of things they would do. But what I don't like and what I don't like seeing is this is putting law enforcement in a bad place. And I saw that.
And stand down.
Yeah, I saw that Kumo today on the news saying, you know, that these sheriffs and all this said they won't enforce these laws, you know, that they don't have the choice, that it's not their decision, and they're acting like little dictators. No, they're not acting like little dictators. The government is acting like the dictator, and I would say that these law-abiding sheriffs and deputies and police officers are saying, you know what, we're not doing anything about it. That's what the Americans are supposed to do. That's what an American peace officer, a law enforcement officer that's raised his hand and took the oath is supposed to do. Because that law enforcement officer that refuses to enforce these rules is following the Constitution to the letter. And they are honoring their oath, and they should have our support. But these police officers are being put in a really bad spot. Now, I have a thought process on that. I tweeted it out this morning.
I saw that.
You know, I mean, we've been defund the police, Black Lives Matter against the police, Antifa against the police, police bad, criminal good, you know, boom, boom, boom. There's a very good possibility that this is all very well measured and that this COVID enforcement is just yet another tool of this brilliant plan of theirs to further alienate the police or prove that the police, because of their belief in the Constitution, are unable or unwilling to enforce the mandates or the laws set forth by these wannabe dictators of the government that's very possibly going to come into power in the United States. What if, so we know that by design, but what if the end result of that design was and is to make it to where the police are rendered ineffective? So therefore, we eliminate the police and they bring in military. Not necessarily our military.
They've been talking about this for a long time.
We know that they want to.
Yep.
Now, I say not our military because, I mean, yeah, I know we've got the General Mattises and people like that that probably would do things like that. Well, that'd be fine because he'd be the first one to catch a bullet through the head. Okay. Our military, our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads, our sons, our daughters? Are they really going to come in and enforce this against their families and friends? Somehow I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think they would stand down.
Who would stand? Precisely who would stand down?
The individuals. The generals and all, I don't know. It really, see, I don't know where the military mindset's at right now. I know what the military likes Trump, but then you've got these General Mattises and all. Now Mattis, you know, he liked war. There's just really no other way to say it. The establishment likes war. The United States is, you know, for the last decades has been at war with somebody about something for some time now. Look how long we were in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Going into Iraq.
Yep.
Okay. Twice.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Trump, in all intents and purposes, the last 3 years have been pretty peaceful.
Yeah, how many wars did Donald Trump start?
Which is amazing because Lord knows they were saying in the beginning, well, we'll be at war in no time because of his foreign policy.
Oh, yeah.
No, his foreign policy was quite simple. America's number one. Mess with us, and I'll step on you.
Mess and with that's you get the horns. That's right.
That's pretty much the way you're supposed to do business. But I'm telling you, if Biden gets in office and manages to live through February, because honestly, I think the guy's on his last leg. Okay. He's got one foot, you know, in the grave and another on a banana peel. And I think, you know, Harris is kicking that banana peel off from under his foot. We're going to be right where we were back with Obama.
Come on, man.
Yeah. We're going to be there, fighting corn pops all over the world, I guess.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
You know,
that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard of is Corn Pop. And Doug, I have a question. Where is Barr?
You know, we checked under all of the tables here in the studio and the offices. Can't find him. And that's a good question. Where is our Department of Friggin' Justice?
Yeah, where are they? What happened? If they can't see the criminality of this last election, I don't even know what to say. The only thing I'm hoping is for some reason he just pops out with a huge bomb and drops it and says, hey, you know, this is what happened and here's the indictments. Because I can't explain his silence. I mean, I've turned over everything I can find to try and find out just even where the guy's at. I don't even know that he's going into the office every day. You know what I'm saying? We have no data on Barr. We got nothing on the guy.
Yeah.
The last time I saw Barr was when they had that little protest in front of his house. And he came out, had some words with the crowd, and then they prayed together and this yeah. and that. That was one of our people. Yeah, it's one
Coach
of
Dave Dobmeier. And you know, and I aired that clip, and I had just a teensy weensy bit of hope, a glimmer of hope. And okay, so that makes for good sound bites, but it certainly lacks any. That and it's meaningless. It's meaningless.
and the gentleman, there's a gentleman that works with him that sends me emails all the time. Guy named Clay. Yeah. Clay, thank you for the emails. Definitely thank you for the photos and all. We appreciate it. It's nice to have when there's people on the ground there, you know, sending us intel straight from the site.
Right.
We like that. So just a quick thank you. The people that are out there, there's a lot of good people that believe in the United States, believe in our president, believe in right and wrong, and that there is a line there. And I know things look tough right now. Things look a little screwy, but don't give up. Look, even if for some insane reason Donald Trump isn't sworn in on the 20th, don't give up. Don't give up, okay? Because I'll tell you right now, I intend to make it so bad for these Democrats that they're going to want to resign in 2 years. They're just going to want to turn everything back over to the GOP because we're just going to give them hell. They're going to give them hell. And it's going to come in many forms. Okay. We're going to be up their butt. Everything they do, all the stuff that they've done to Donald Trump these last 4 years is going to be five times that on Biden.
Regardless, okay. And I'll say this, dictators.
Take comfort in that, okay? Because there's at least 75 million of us.
Yes.
All right? And listen, we've got to have each other's backs on this. I mean that. We've got to have each other's backs. The only way, it's difficult. We run into a lot of difficult things because it used to be you exposed the bad and the bad was dealt with. It's different now. We expose the bad and still nobody does anything about it. So we're working on that aspect. How do we expose the bad? Because apparently the best place to expose the bad is public opinion. And at the voting station is the only place that some stupid. One thing where there's going to be a lot of pressure on between now and the next election is definitely cleaning up the voting system because it is broken. There's a lot of good outfits out there that are working on it, but we're going to do our part. Okay. And we haven't given up on Trump winning yet because there's just something sitting in the back of my mind and I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but there's an ace in the hole here to be played. I got this feeling, this uncanny feeling. And if you notice, Donald Trump's been, for the most part, kind of quiet.
Yep.
When he's quiet, look out. Because, there's other reasons why you see him, he plays three-dimensional chess and why they're breaking up the legal team and doing different things. Because this is going to be, I think, staggered hits. I think there's going to be, first of all, he needs to secure the office. And then the criminality aspect of it has to come full circle and to the point of indictments, trials, and convictions. If we can get him back in the office on the 20th, all the other things will fall in play because it's quite obvious that there was theft and deception and fraud in this election cycle.
Yeah,
there's tons of it. I mean, I'm talking not just the machines. I'm talking all the way down to handing out hats and T-shirts for votes.
Oh, absolutely.
Every bit of it. I'm not just talking about the machines.
Right.
I'm not just talking about the mail-in ballots. I think the key that's going to come down is which ballots are accepted and which ones aren't. And where Georgia may have just got their butt in trouble was throwing ballots out.
That and among other things, yes, I totally agree with that.
Think about that, Doug. Yeah. If we had to go and maybe do an appeal and the judge said, let's say we had a murder trial and we didn't like the verdict and we went and do an appeal and the judge says, okay, I need to see the evidence. We go, we threw it out.
Yeah.
Guess what? I don't think, you know what I mean? Anyway, how are we doing on time, buddy?
We're out of time, if you can believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We appreciate you. We definitely thank you for everything you're doing for us.
Will you, because of the time off, because Eric the Tech is going to be off, would you be kind enough to co-host with me as we go through the week, perhaps?
Somebody has to keep you out of trouble, man.
I'm going to tell you what, man. Without Eric, it's going to have to be you.
All right. I'll do it.
Randy Taylor, thank you so very much. The Hagman Report. God bless Randy. He does a fantastic job, and so glad to have him. Stay right where you're at. Global Star Radio Network. top of the hour. And this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. If it's Tuesday, it's an hour or two. It's Stan Dale from standale.com. My apologies. I just want to open this up by saying I made a mistake yesterday at thehagmanreport.com. The videos, I pressing buttons, putting code lines in and stuff.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, man. You know, the thing, but anyway. I somehow didn't get yesterday's show correctly, and it was actually Stan Dale from last week. So, but I don't even know how in the world that happened. Okay, so anyway, now this is the real Stan Dale, not from last week. But before I get to Stan, I just want to mention that Jenna Ellis sent a tweet out earlier today. I think it was earlier. Yeah, it was earlier today, saying that, you know, all of the media chatter of Joe Biden picking his cabinet is like fantasy football. It's meaningless in the real game. And think about that, because I will tell you this. There was fraud. There was ample fraud. There's ample proof of fraud in this election. Americans, 79%, according to Breitbart, of Republicans, I think that's a metric that they used, believe that, the election was stolen from Donald Trump by virtue of fraud. And the growing number of Democrats, some 30%, I believe that was the number, don't quote me on that, but a growing number of Democrats believe that there was fraud used. Okay. Now the vocal people, the vocal minority saying, yeah, there's no fraud. You know, it's a bunch of BS. And look, I understand Rush Limbaugh coming out. I get it saying, well, you know, show me the receipts, essentially. You know, I'm paraphrasing here. Show us what you have. Well, there's parallel investigations and people have to understand this just to be very, very clear. You know, the optics wasn't the best. It wasn't the best on Sunday when Jen Ellis, the Trump campaign attorney and spokesperson said, you know, Sidney Powell's not with us. Well, no, of course not. And she's pursuing a different line of fraud, as is Lynn Wood pursuing a different line of fraud than, we'll say, Rudy Giuliani. Because they appeared at a press conference together does not make them kissing legal cousins, okay? But if you, and I'm going to speak, and then I'm going to get to Stan. I'm going to speak to you. If you are watching this and you've got any kind of reasonable sensibilities and you don't think there was any fraud whatsoever, or sufficient fraud to turn the election, if you believe that this election was won by Joe, sleepy, creepy, hair-sniffing, babbling, bumbling Joe Biden, basement Joe, if you believe that, I only have one question for you. What in the hell is wrong with you? With me is Stan Dale from standale.com. What? Oh, I gotta give Eric the tech a second. We're having some connectivity issues. But then again, why not, right? So, the other thing too. If you are, and I want to appeal to all of my fellow Pennsylvanians. If you are in Pennsylvania, and you are a business owner, specifically a restaurant slash bar or bar slash restaurant, whatever, I urge you, I ask you, I beg of you to save us bloodshed. You can save us bloodshed. You may say, how can I do that? I'm just an owner of a bar. How can I possibly save bloodshed? Open the doors, defy these illegal, unconstitutional, mandates from this fascist, tyrannical dictator, Governor Wolf. Defy. Because if you don't defy, if you don't say no now, and all say no, you know what? There's more of us than there are of them, and we're going to open the doors. Just let me know when he's on. We're going to open the doors and keep them open. To hell with your, excuse me? We're going to close at 5 and reopen, or you're just going to do 8 to 5? And you got so-called conservatives celebrating this. I'm going to tell you something, okay? If you don't defy this order and stay open, and people don't support you, people should just imagine everyone all across the state saying, no, thank you. No, my bar, my choice, my body, my choice, my bar, my choice. And we don't support you as we should in your decision to stay open. Then it's going to get bloody the next time. So I'm actually attempting, I'm begging you, save us from certain bloodshed, because it's coming if we have to go to the next step. But if we can all gather together and say, no, we're not going to do this. This is unconstitutional. You don't have the power, or you don't have the authority. You might think you have the power, but you certainly don't have the authority, and most assuredly not constitutional authority. Then the next time there will be bloodshed. So help us out and save us that bloodshed. Does that make sense to you? I ask. Leave your comments in Rumble below in the comment section. And look, sign up for an account at Rumble. Okay. It's easy to comment, to join in the comments. It's simple. And subscribe to us on Rumble, please. Please. You're going to let me know, right? All right. So we're having some trouble getting Stan Deo on. Say what? He just popped in. Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Stan Deo, how are you, my man?
Good, me boy. Good.
You're a bad dude, you know that?
Yeah, I know. I know. They tell me that every now and then.
So I have to ask you this. I'm going to be celebrating Thanksgiving as normal tomorrow, like a freedom-loving, freedom-embracing American. Not tomorrow, whenever it is, Thursday. Apparently they don't move that around except for the date. What? Okay. Yeah, you're fading in now. Anyway, I'm going to be celebrating Thanksgiving Thursday with as many of my closest friends as possible. They're all going to be armed, and we are going to be telling the cousin it of Pennsylvania and the governor, the fascist dictator of Pennsylvania.
You know the thing.
That cousin it, the thing. We're going to be telling them just to, you know, put their laws put their mandates where the sun don't shine. That said, what are you going to be doing? How are you going to be solved? You going to be okay or what?
With me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you. You're going to have a nice Thanksgiving. Are you going to, what's your plans? You don't have to tell me, especially on air, but I'm just curious. You're fixing on having a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we'll just have a private Thanksgiving, Holly and I. All the children live so far away. And
yeah.
You know, it's impossible to get them together anyway.
Yeah.
But we may connect by Skype with a couple of them and say howdy. Have a nice meal.
I didn't realize you had family in Australia. I mean, still in Australia.
There's 5 grandchildren and, you know, 3 children in Australia.
Oh, man.
10 grandchildren here and 2 sons here. Well, I say here in Texas, Louisiana.
Jeez.
Yeah,
Now you got a big brood there.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen them all together. Gosh, since, well, I've only seen the boys and the daughter. That's what, 70th birthday. It was 5 years ago. They came up here. Other than that, I just talked by Skype to them.
I think you're lying about your age too. Eric the Tech and I were having a conversation about that not too long ago. I think you look too good to be. You look too good.
Good Lord loves me, and I spend so much time inside and not out in the sun that it doesn't damage the skin as fast. So yeah. I guess, you know, I had an interesting thing. My body doesn't tell a lie. It feels old at times, but about a month and a half ago, something clicked in my neck. It wasn't like a normal display. It was like a bone fragment breaking off, like an osteophyte. Oh. Went to the doctors, got all the x-rays and the MRI and junk, and I'm supposed to go see a neurologist here in a couple of weeks. And it was so bad that I couldn't lift my arm up like this. Just half of can't do it. There were sharp knife, razor blade pains in the joint. Well, night before last, I usually put this in my prayer, saying, if it kind of suits your plans, Lord, could you fix the neck, which is impinging the nerve to the shoulder? That's what everybody thought. Well, I went to get up morning before last, and I leaned on this left arm to get up, which was very painful. But all of a sudden, there was this kind of slipping click, and it turns out that I had a dislocated shoulder all this time. And it went away immediately. Duh. So thank the Lord for that, and I've been good since then.
You walking around with a dislocated shoulder, that's a lot of pain. I think of the movie with Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon, where he was able to dislocate and relocate his shoulder at will by hitting a wall. And, I've got both rotator cuffs problems. And so if law enforcement says put your hands above your head, we're going to have a discussion because that ain't happening. Anyway.
One of my fellow classmates was a football player, and he'd broken his fingers, little finger here, years ago in, it is kind of like that, in football. And it just froze like that. It healed like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in our first couple of days there at the academy, we fell into a line and were being inspected by the drill sergeant. And we were all asked to salute. And of course, he saluted like this. Finger up there.
Yeah.
Drill sergeant says, straighten that hand out. Sir, I can't. It's broken. I don't believe that. And so he worked to the side there and put his hand down on the table. And he went bang like that. And of course, there were tears in the guy's eyes that he hit because it really was a broken finger. And he says, oh, the drill sergeant says, well, I guess it was a broken finger. Okay, not a sorry or kiss my anything, but we laughed about that afterward, after he stopped crying. Anyway, yes, those things in our bodies are the scars and symbols of our misdeeds in our youth, accidents, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I was, I'll just say this. I don't know, maybe back in 78, I was in an explosion. It was actually a fire and backdraft situation, and I was second on the line. And I got to tell you, the first guy, his shoes—he was blown out of his boots. That was the guy ahead of me, and I was behind him. And when we landed, and I say landed, we were looking up, and first of all, the wind was knocked out of us both, and looking up and seeing like a rain of debris coming down. So, I think back to that day and I think, boy, that was like the first, the first yucky thing that happened to my body, and then car accidents and stuff. And it just adds up and adds up and adds up. So yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
I wonder about these people that are stunt men in Hollywood that do all these tremendous stunts that you think you're your hero actors do. And I look at Special Forces guys, SEAL teams or whatever, and they go through rigorous training, and in the training, they're going to stretch muscles and joints and develop scar tissue from various things. But then during their active period in the field, they're going to have scars of all kinds and wounds. And I think to myself, when they get older, they're going to be living on pain pills or something because they're just going to hurt everywhere.
But yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's kind of like boxing too. Things you do for money, I guess, or adrenaline, or I don't know, both, but wow. I don't know, brother. Well, what do you think? So here we are. This is the 24th day of November. We're, 3 weeks post election, actually 3 weeks post election. So what are your thoughts right now, if I dare ask?
Well, my thoughts are going to be just thoughts and, what ifs type thing. I've been watching the news, as I'm sure you have, about people coming and going in the Middle East. See where Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu had a visit, went over to Saudi Arabia, to Riyadh, to meet with Prince Mohammed bin Salman, at the same time, coincidentally, that Mike Pompeo from the United States was over meeting with Mohammed bin Salman. In a meeting that never took place. MBS says it never took place, but of course it did. Now, I ask myself, okay, we've got the United States Pompeo, who it represents a government over here that supports Israel and defends Israel against its neighbors that are trying to attack it, like Iran and part of Syria and Lebanon, some of those. So then we have the Prime Minister of Israel for the first time flying over and meeting with the head of Saudi Arabia. Now, what do they all have in common? They say in the press, well, if the meeting did take place, it was to plan for peace in the whole Middle East region, how we can achieve that. And I thought, well, now for Israel, what would peace in the Middle East be? Well, it'd be getting Iran off their back, trying to shoot them and bomb them and whatever and kill them. And what for Mohammed bin Salman, what is his problem in the Middle East? Oh, yeah, that's right, Iran. They're Shiite Muslims who are militants. Remember from Qasem Soleimani. So there is a real kind of angst between Mohammed bin Salman or Saudi Arabia and Iran. So for both Israel and Saudi Arabia, the removal or the destruction of Iran would be high on their list of priorities, just to keep them from expanding their nuclear armaments and attacking both Israel and Saudi Arabia. Iran just can't be reasoned with. They're Shiites. Of course, the other Muslims in the area, most of them are Sunni, are rather peaceful Muslims, if there is such a thing. But anyway. All right, now we've got Pompeo over there in the United States. What would we gain? Well, of course, President Trump would gain a peace treaty if he could get them all to come to peace. Well, how could we arrange that? Would an attack on Israel by Iran, or an alleged attack, make Israel blow up and destroy Damascus, boy, in Syria there. And that would then put the United States in a position of having to go to war against Iran to defend Israel and also to assist Saudi Arabia. How could that happen? Well, it's using the War Powers Resolution of 1973 and the home front, with people being upset if he declared war on Iran without the approval of Congress. He's got, 60 to 90 days to get to approval, but in the meantime, he's fighting in Iran if he does that. What would that mean inside the country? Well, there would be a lot of left-wing rioters rise up and say, we want Trump out. He's now put us into war, blah, blah, blah. And at that time, since we're at war, technically at that point in time, people in the United States who are fifth columnists, treasonists, support the overthrow and the violent overthrow of the government, like the communist infiltrators. And there are a number of those in the left-wing, extreme left of the Democratic Party. They could be arrested. They could be put into, Guantanamo or something like that without legal representation because they are terrorists in a time of war. They're traitors. So a number of things could come to play here in the next month that would see a drastic change in the world politics. If the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia go to war against Iran, this will result in the nuking of various targets like Damascus and others in Iran by Israel primarily. The United States will have to defend Israel because the Iron Dome shield is not working well all the time, so they're going to have other support from U.S. Military to defend any missiles that are nuclear, particularly coming into Israel from Iran. There we have a very complex situation, and that could delay the change of government in a time of war, and it can also cause the locking up various traitors in our country. Now, that might be the way that we see the world, you know, especially the Arab nations around Israel saying, wow, you used nukes to destroy Damascus and to calm down or, you know, subdue Iran. Look, we don't want to do anything to irritate you, they'd say to Israel. Maybe we better get that peace treaty in place right now. So this would be an impetus for that peace treaty that was spoken of in the Bible about the peace treaty of the many nations around Israel with Israel. That might be the impetus to get them off the pot. Because right now, only three or four nations have said that they would be interested in making a peace deal with Israel. But this could, all these factors could come into this kind of a picture within the next week, month, 6 or 7 weeks, whatever. And the change of government here might not take place for quite some time.
Change of government. Where?
Here. You know, transfer a government to the Biden administration. That might be put on hold in a time of war. And if Biden and his people are any of them arrested for being treason and, you know, treasonous, they won't be able to take the office. Someone else will have to do it.
Well, in my view, there's certainly sufficient prima facie evidence of foreign entanglement with the Biden faux cabinet. I'm sorry, faux cabinet and foul Kuroki. And Biden himself, along with Hunter Biden, mixed with what you had said, I wonder if there's any constitutional allowances for this.
Well, let's look at on slide 60. I've got a link to Wikipedia for War Powers Resolution.
Okay.
And it said the War Powers Resolution requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action, and the resolution forbids armed forces from remaining for more than 60 days with a further 30-day withdrawal period without national authorization. Now, There are other factors about, you know, 2/3 of the Senate and all that kind of stuff. But then it says here, it has been alleged that the War Powers Resolution has been violated in the past, for example, by President Bill Clinton in 1999 during the bombing campaign in Kosovo. Congress has disapproved all such incidents, but none has resulted in any successful legal actions being taken against the president for alleged violations. So the Democrats' own hero there, Clinton, has already done this. He's already declared, you know, an act of war and in Kosovo. And if you then look on my show news page at slide 58, the Insurrection Act of 1807, this allows the president to override posse comitatus in a time of, rebellion or civil disorder. And he could then arrest and detain and control any state that he wanted to, that was in a state of, you know, chaos, in essence, civil disorder, insurrection. But in a time of war, this could be called into play as well, legally. They're just, these two things are on the back burner, but, you know, President Trump, to try to keep peace here, if he did do something like this, would not initiate the War Act. Israel, who we have a treaty with to defend, would be most likely the one that initiates the action against Iran. And then the United States would have to defend Israel. Well, that's the way it is. It wasn't Trump doing it. It was Israel doing it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of coming out of left field, in a sense, or at least to the American, at least for the perception, that would be a kind of a, wow, we didn't see that coming.
Okay. Well, it's not conspiracy. I'm just looking at a strategy, a war strategy and political strategy all mixed together in our current time. And you ask me what I'm thinking about?
Hmm.
About, look at slide 56, if you can, click it up.
Sure.
We're on Zoom today. Let me try. Oh.
Okay. It's there it is.
Eric, when you can, on your Zoom thing, enable that I can screen share somewhere in your settings. And then I can screen share these images, you know, as quick as you can, but even some that aren't on my show images page. Anyway, that graph or that map of the Middle East, I want to point out some things here to you. Can you either let me share or...
Working on that.
He's got it. He's got it.
You should have it.
Okay. Now you've got it. Now this is a map of the Middle East. Can you see my cursor moving here? There. You like that?
Yeah, it's hopping a little bit weird, but we can see it.
It's
hang on 1 second. We're going to try to fine tune something here. All right. So we're looking at the. Okay. Stand by, folks.
All right.
Okay. This is what we see right now. So.
Okay. So you see the Middle East with the yellow arrows and stuff everywhere?
Yes.
Now, what I want to show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what you see is what we see. So it should be at least synced up. So go ahead.
Okay. In this map here, I've got this long yellow arrow here pointing to Iran. Very big country when you look at it. And up at the very tip of it, I put a dotted line for physical access to Israel down to this little orange area to the Golan Heights. Well, a little bit up from there, but anyway. Now, Damascus is right under the end of this here, this little arrow. I have an arrow pointing at Damascus. Now, for Iran to move troops into the Middle East, you know, weapons or whatever, it would have to come through either southern Turkey, northern Iraq, and or Syria to get there. Now, that's why Turkey and Iran and Soviet Union are all buddy-buddy at the moment. Because Turkey doesn't like Mohammed bin Salman or Saudi Arabia, and obviously doesn't like Israel. But they've teamed up with the Iranians here, and they will allow the Iranians to pass over their territory into Syria there, which they've already been allowing during the current conflicts in Syria. You see here now, this is Baghdad, where this arrow is here. I'm just getting you familiar with all this. This yellow outline is around Baghdad, and you see Iran is... landmass-wise, huge. And down here at the lower part is the capital of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, Mohammed bin Salman's territory. And then Jordan is here, and there's the Jordan River that goes between Israel and the Arab states. The Lebanon here is also part of this Iranian access to the area around Israel. So this is the Lebanon here, butts right up to northern Israel. In fact, I spent a night in a kibbutz in 1989, right there, the top part of Israel on the border to Lebanon, where they were killing people in the valley below on the Lebanese side. Several hundred died that night while I slept.
Mm.
Now, here's Turkey. All these things are integral parts of what's going to become the New World Order, but they're also part of the nations that will sign a peace treaty with Israel. Now, Turkey was the Ottoman, you know, head of the Ottoman Empire here in Turkey. And it's in the center of the left here, the Western Roman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire, which took in a lot of all this territory here. So when the Bible talks of a revived Roman Empire in the book of Daniel, left leg, right leg, they're talking about East, West, a revived Roman Empire and the nations within that. Now, I don't know whether the state border lines will exist as they are now in the New World Order. But the major parts of the Eastern Roman Empire will be half of the 10 nations that will rule, be ruled by the Antichrist in one, you know, strong organization. The toes in that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel interpreted, in the toes of that statue, at the bottom of these two legs of the revived Roman Empire, are 2 feet with five toes on each. And some of the toes are iron, like strength like Rome. They were very strong nations. And some are like clay, weak, you know, probably some sort of a loose democracy of some or something or other, but not strong militarily. So looking to the west here, we'd be looking up into the United States of Europe. Some of those would be forming of the five western parts of the revived Roman Empire. That's why I put this map up there. And I think I do keep it up all the time in the lower image bank here on my show image page. So you can get a feel for the negotiations going on. Now, Iran is, okay, on this side, the east side of the Saudi situation there, where I call it the Saudi Peninsula, so east of that, separated by the Gulf, of the Arabic Gulf here. And this is why we look at arrangements, meetings between Russia, Turkey, and Iran, and why the acquisition of Iraq into the Shiite camp is so important right now, because all these are areas to that you need complete access through to the Middle East. They all want to destroy Israel. I hope this kind of puts the situation in your mind a little better to see why these negotiations are taking place. Israel meeting with Saudi Arabia and the United States over here, and Iran meeting with the Turkey representatives and Russia. See the power blocks opposing each other there. Okay. Wasn't that fun?
Pretty interesting there.
Yes, well, I try. Slide 23.
I just want to say that, you know, I think the majority of people in America could not find what you're pointing out on a map, or if they say, where's Iraq? You know, deer in the headlights look. Folks, study this map. Study what Stan has done. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
All right. While we're in the Middle East, this happened in 2015.
Oh, we need your video back, by the way. You have to click. When you enabled screen sharing, I think the video went off.
All right. Well, I went back to live vision here. I'll put that back. Now you've got it. Okay. This is slide 55 here.
Okay.
Entry to a first century home located under the Sisters of Nazareth convent in Nazareth, in Israel. Is believed by archaeologist Professor Ken Dark to be the boyhood home of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not new news. This was back in 2015 when they discovered it. But I thought it was interesting to see, if it's not his home where he lived as a youth, it is the type of home he lived in there in Nazareth. And, you know, I suppose they had wooden beds with skins of some sort or woven cloth to sleep on, because sleeping on these floors would be a pain in the neck.
Mm.
His home may have looked like, and might be the actual one, you know, during the medieval period, the sisters there said it was. And a little bit of, you know, a feel for how he lived here on earth. Sometimes when I'm thanking him, you know, shedding his blood on the cross for us, I also thank him for stepping into chaos here, you know, on this filthy planet. Back then it was even worse as far as hygiene, but it was chaotic. It was people killing each other, the Romans, everybody fighting. And he lived amongst this so that he could see what humans deal with and how blind they are, that we can't see through the veil into the heavens where his Father and our Father, Heavenly Father, live. It just, to me, it's just cementing the fact that I know he put himself out to even live here in a earth body and endure the challenges and the temptations of this world. So he knows what we're dealing with, and that's probably why he's so merciful with us anyway. And this just reminded me of that, so I wanted to share that picture of that house.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Wow.
Okay, yeah, slide 52, we've already seen, I've already talked to you about that. That's where Prime Minister Netanyahu met with the Saudi Crown Prince, MBS, and they have the time the private jet left Tel Aviv and where it went into the Neom Resort, which is quite interesting in itself. Netanyahu was on a Gulfstream 4 private jet that left Tel Aviv on Sunday, 7:30 p.m., at their local time, and flew directly to the seaside resort town of Neom, which is, you know, that gigabillion-dollar city that Mohammed bin Salman is building as a resort for people all over the world to come to. It's on the Saudi side of the Gulf of Aden. And sorry, not Aden, the Gulf of what's it called? It leads right up into the Jordan River there. Anyway, across from the Sinai Peninsula. It was interesting that he would meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu there. And then you see Pompeo calls for new labeling products from West Bank, directs action to combat boycotts of Israel. And it says Israeli spy chief and the head of Mossad, Yossi Cohen, joined the meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu and MBS, which was also attended by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So there you have the news article that tells you this did happen, and that their alleged reason was, while Benny Gantz is dealing with politics, the prime minister is making peace. So all the denials and whatever are being met with, this is an act of peace, bringing peace in the Middle East. And they think, I'm sure, in the back room, the Saudis, Israelis, and Americans, that peace in the Middle East is to get to Iranian situation solved, because they're a loose cannon. They hate America, they hate Israel, and they hate Saudi Arabia. And they're developing nuclear weapons at the moment, and they're very close to being able to launch some of them. So in my opinion, this meeting was to see what they're going to do. They didn't do this by phone or secure lines or anything else. They met face-to-face to say these things, I'm sure, in a very screened and protected room that couldn't be bugged, to tell what they're going to do. But I'm sure Iran knows that this is a bad sign for them, because these guys getting together secretly means that there's some big doings coming against Iran. And so it should be, because they're just a loose cannon. Anyway, that's...
It was my understanding that President Trump wanted to strike the centrifuges. That went hot and was somehow overruled, talked out of it, told to stand down. I mean, I don't know. Look, I don't have the information, but it's just I heard that and... offered for what it's worth. It's not, I can't prove it. I can't source it. It's
I know.
Whatever.
I know. The same thing. And as I say, at this point, politically, it would be unwise for the President Trump at the moment, while he's still in office, to initiate any warfare act or any insurrection act in the United States without cause. Without cause pinned to him. So, the Middle East situation is the perfect place to trigger insurrection in the United States because of the War Powers Resolution being enacted by the president against Iran in defense of Israel and Saudi Arabia in this case. I didn't do it, but it happened, so I guess I'm going to have to put martial law here and, we're at war. That's Trump saying that, allegedly, that he might do that.
And, well, that's one way. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, that's one way.
I see this beautiful lady here. It's Holly when she was about 23, I think.
Wait, where am I looking?
Oh, sorry. I can't show you that. No, I can't. Are you looking at my picture here?
I don't know what I see. I don't know what that is, brother.
Eric, can you go back? There you go. That's Holly at 23. Can you see that now?
No. I see something like, okay.
Your Hagman image back there.
Man.
You can't see me waving my hands now.
Can't see anything.
Eric? I'm certainly not sharing screen. I'm back to...
Wait a second. Come on, man. We don't know what's going on. Apparently there are gremlins in the system.
Yeah, they were early.
Yeah.
You know, now this evening we've got problems with Skype as well, which is why we switched to Zoom.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Okay. Well, I definitely want to see that picture. Is it posted on your website anywhere?
Maybe not here. I made a couple of coffee cups for us with the pictures of us when we got married and stuff like that. I don't know. Can you see that now?
No.
Oh, I can see it on your screen. Why can't I?
Can't see it.
Let me change view to gallery view. Can you see that? No. Well, when you get us back, when you can see me talking, let me know. In the meantime, let me cover some other things on the share page here.
Okay. We have gremlins running amok. Folks, my guest, of course, Stan Dale, we're trying to get things worked out visually.
What are you saying?
Wait a minute. What's that? We have screen share. Would you say?
We get the screen share, but the video's not popping back up when you exit screen share.
Yeah. Go figure.
No, why, but maybe I can share my my own screen. Let's see what happens. How about that?
Now we gotcha.
There you go. Now.
Okay.
This is, where are we here? I've got to get up there. That's Holly when she was about 23.
Wow.
This is when we got married. You know, the, there we go at the castle. Look at that. Yeah. And then, of course, this was the kid here when I was about 30, 31, 32, something like that.
My goodness, look at that.
And that's fun. There you go. Hmm. Now, I'm going to stop share and go back over to...
Okay, we just went into this abyss. Okay, the only thing I can describe this is as a never-ending abyss. Okay, now we're back to...
Yeah, I just have to cut off one and put on the other.
Got it.
I don't know what doing it, because normally we don't have to do that, but we are at the moment. Okay, now in slide 54, it's about the Oregon Governor Kate Brown. She is urging her state's residents to call the police to report their neighbors for violating her strict coronavirus lockdown restrictions on Thanksgiving. So here we have a police state, you know, like communist Russia, like the Nazis used to have. You tell on your neighbors. And if there's an extension of this, when the Biden administration comes into power, your neighbors can tell on you for, prepping, for hoarding, for weapons, you know, all kinds of things that your neighbors can report you. And, without cause. This is a frightening development that they're trying in Oregon to see how it will work. But can you imagine that? Your neighbors ratting on you.
Oh, yeah. I can. Yeah.
Good, whatever.
But see, Stan, when we were trying to connect and stuff, I really believe right now, because in Pennsylvania, for example, the governor here in Pennsylvania, just in the counterpart, Cousin It, and I say that because I'm not sure what to call it. And I'm being honest. I don't know if it's a he, if it's a she, if it's an it. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be stupid. I really don't know. Anyway, they're shutting down bars / restaurants or bars beginning, Wednesday, tomorrow at 5 p.m. And, they're not to reopen again until, I don't know, sometime after the Thanksgiving holiday. And that's among other draconian measures. But what this does is essentially takes the highest revenue producing day away from the owners of these establishments. Now, here's my answer to that, because I think this is all going to end up in bloodshed unless. And my answer to avoiding that is if everyone in Oregon, in Pennsylvania, and all across the United States, Stan, if they said, no, no, and hell no, we're not going to do this, that would put them on notice that we're not going to cooperate. And it could, in my view anyway, it could stop a much bloodier confrontation that is fixing to happen. That's just my view, okay? Because, and yes, this Governor Brown, how dare you, Governor Brown? You work for the people. We're not your slaves. I don't know, your thoughts? Stan, I'm PO'd, man. What are your thoughts?
You can see her logic in saying that you people aren't obeying the lockdown instructions I'm giving you. You elected me to be the governor, blah, blah, blah. And to ensure everybody follows the directive for your own good, I want you to report your neighbors if they're violating the directive. However, that starts to be a police state. There's no question about it. So,
well, if with your permission and indulgence, I'd like to show you a video, and it contains offensive language. So I apologize for that, but it's only like 30 seconds or 35 seconds. The governor of New Jersey, who imposed again the Orwellian draconian lockdowns in his state, was confronted in a restaurant in Philadelphia. At a restaurant in Philadelphia by a woman. And she gave him what for, okay? And I think this is where we're at. If you don't mind, and again, it contains some raw language. I can't filter it out. But take a look and see how well it's working with the people of New Jersey / Pennsylvania when these tyrants say, well, you've got to stay home, you've got to wear a mask, you've got to, distance yourself. But yet, here's what they do, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God, Murphy. How you doing? Such a dick.
You're having
you
fun
are...
with your family. In the meantime, you're having all kind of other bullshit
Holy
going on.
Shit. Yeah.
A little too drunk?
No, I'm not drunk, as a matter of fact.
Can you put your mask on? Please?
You can go fuck yourself. How's that?
Well, you don't have a mask on.
You know why I don't need a mask? Because there ain't nothing
like
fucking
Trump,
wrong with me.
I like your Trump focus.
You're fucking right,
that's
you do.
That's who Trump likes. He likes my
face. Yeah, he doesn't like your face.
Oh, he does.
Get the fuck out of here. Thank you.
Let's go.
Come on.
Come on.
You know what? You
suck. Come on. It's the governor of New Jersey. And forgive the language. I apologize for the language. But this is where the American people are at, Stan. And I mean, we're all adults here in the room, hopefully. This is where the American people are at. I think that Governor Brown is going to experience the same tyranny or the same response, in my view. I don't know. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I don't know any way to actually make this peaceful. We're now so divided and so widely divided between left and right concept, you know, conservative and liberal concept, that, I don't see a way back except confrontation. At this point, like in the Roman Empire and things like that, you're looking at a decay of the order of the empire, in our case, the nation. And in this decay, the left is going to push as terrorists, like they say that our forefathers were, who were terrorists against King George to form America. They're thinking they're in the right to tear down what we have here now because of its aging laws and rules and whatever, and replace it with a new country. So they picture themselves as patriots, you know, overthrowing a corrupt government. And let's face it, our government has its problems. It really does. But it's because of people and greed using the laws to their advantage. And we're not going to just suddenly become nice people in our government. We're just going to go down. We have to be overthrown. It'll be a revolution. It's not what I wanted to see in life, but that's what we're...
Yeah, especially at our age, you know. I don't want to see any of this for our kids and for our grandchildren. How did we happen to allow this? I don't know.
Look, after World War II, everybody was quite peaceful, you know, thinking, well, the war is over. We can live life and raise our children and, you know, prosper. And so between about 1947 and maybe 1961, things were really nice in the United States, and people got lazy. But when, like, President Kennedy was assassinated, things took a nasty turn there, and this division between left and right started to grow. Those in power, whether it be Democrat or Republican in their different administrations, did pass laws and things that would enhance their wealth and their security, and those who followed them to a degree. That's where we started to really go off the rails. We forgot about World War II, and the war babies are now starting to grow up and be educated in a different environment, because we had communist infiltrators in our education system that were making curricula that were really against the United States and our history. And it was a gradual process over the next 20, 30 years to turn that generation of young people into adults, thinking that, well, America's not so great. And, you know, it was planned by the communists, the Russian communists, at the end of World War II. Many of the soldiers, you know, including General Patton and my dad, they all knew that we should have gone on and taken on Russia after we defeated Germany, and to stop them from progressing and spreading Russian communism across the planet, especially toward us. And, of course, General Patton then had, an accident, broke his neck in a car kind of wreck.
Nothing suspicious about that.
Oh, no.
No.
No, and...
The guy, you know, what, tanks through Northern Africa, Europe, or wherever his theater of operation was, and survives, and then an accident, a Jeep takes him out. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, that's how I see it happening. It was a plan, a coordinated effort by the communists to overthrow the American democratic system over a period of generations. They're quite patient. They have a motto, one step back or two steps forward. And they'll take a bit of a setback, and then they'll leap ahead by double that to get their way in the country they're trying to take over. We're there. And with the help of people like George Soros, that sorry individual.
Yeah. Well, earlier today, I don't know whether you heard this or not, but New York City is scheduled to impose COVID at checkpoints at bridges, tunnels, train stations this Thanksgiving. I don't know, even know what that means. But except, you know, we're not free to travel. We're not free to, we're just not free anymore. And that saddens me. And it hurts my heart. It just hurts my soul. And I think that, you know, Stan, we need to, you know, look, we can talk about it all day long, but I have a feeling that it's going to have to be not litigated. It's going to have to be, the tree needs, you know, the tree, you know, the thing, the tree needs water.
You know the thing.
Thank you, Eric the Tech. The Tree of Liberty.
How much time we got left this evening?
About 5 minutes.
Okay. Let me get to slide 37 here. I think I've got it on screen share. Can you see that, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Slide 37 and 38.
37, 39. 38. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Now I'm going to look at the picture in slide 37 of the sun and its magnetic fields. It is more active now than it's been in 5 years, and it's starting its 25th solar cycle, sunspot cycle, with a bang. Over here on the left where my cursor is, this is coming around to face us fairly shortly, and this is facing us now, and one that just passed us over, you can see these white lines. On the backside of the sun, there's a lot of activity that we need to pay attention to, especially when it's up close to the equatorial region, because if it releases a coronal mass ejection from the sun toward us, here's a better picture of that without the magnetic field line. If something like this is a slightly higher, maybe a hole opens up here in the coronal hole, it's going to shoot coronal mass ejection straight out at Earth. And so in this position in here, as it turns this direction, when you see these things releasing, you know, violent flares and mass ejections, that could hit the Earth, and it could also cause massive EMP events on the surface of the Earth for hours at a time when it hits. Other than that, when you have these things pointing at Earth, and no matter where they are, they might be over here not pointing at Earth and pointing slightly down, there can be regions like these dark regions open up in large areas all over the sun. And there's one hypothesis going out in the community at the moment about whether the sun is going to blow off a lot of the corona into a cloud around the sun. Even the Old Testament says that there will be a cloud that covers the sun for a period of time. And this may be where the 3 days of darkness, theory or hypothesis comes from the Bible. That might be the cause of it. And if that happens, and we have 3 days of darkness, there's an interesting thing that occurs in my mind that puts an opportunity for a rapture to occur in the darkness of night. Because as you know, in the Israeli marriage ceremony, the bridegroom and his friends come up to the outside, to the steps outside his fiance's house in the dark. And he sends his friends in to collect the bride from her father's house, bring her out into their group, their wedding party, and they take off going to wherever they're going to celebrate the wedding and the 7 days of feasting, laughing and joking, whatever, but it's in the darkness of night so that no one knows who's getting married and who's with them, but they know they've come and gone. Now, if we have these days of darkness, then the rapture could take place as a rolling event across the planet in the darkness because nobody would know what's going on. Slide 41, solar graph. This is showing where we are right here, right now. This is facing us. We saw it on that last picture. This is what the sunspot activity facing us, kind of slightly below the equator. What's coming around is this. What just went around will now come around and be hitting us in about 7 to 10 days. This will be here in about 3 days facing us. It'll roll around and be facing us. That's why I watch this particular graph all the time, telling what's here and what's coming. Here is a picture of that sunspot activity we're seeing coming around here. Mm. There's an article about that, which is at Space Weather. Big new sunspot is rotating over the sun's eastern limb. Eastern on the sun is to the left, reverse to ours.
Wow.
More sunspots from the way. The far side image of the sun from Studio A shows a pair of UV hotspots just over the horizon. That's the ones on the left I was showing you. They will rotate into view 2 to 3 days from now, potentially bringing the sunspot count to its highest level in years. Solar flare alerts, and then you can click on that.
Wow. Definitely, folks. I mean, we're a minute away from the end of the show, so definitely take a look at that. Go to standeo.com and then click on the show images page. And you can follow along right there. We've got about a minute left, Stan. That's about all we got, so it's all yours.
Very quickly, slide 49, 50, and 51 are about a new company. Well, it's new to me. I just discovered it over the weekend. And they are launching miniature payloads, like 300-kilogram, 600-pound loads, small rockets, and they've been doing a lot of them, about 95 of them. And if you click on this, you'll get to their website, rocketlabusa.com. And go to their site. All three of these things link to things there that they're doing and how their engine works. And beautiful photography, beautiful rockets. NASA and DARPA have helped fund it, and their first launch was down in New Zealand. Okay, I even wrote to them over the weekend to see if I could advise on some of their orbital insertion.
Wow.
I'm gone. Bye.
Well, yeah, we're at the end, but very interesting. Did you get a response, or are you still waiting a response?
Sent it yesterday. Okay. I explained what patents I have and have applied for, and so that they can know that I have experience in the area of entrainment propulsion, which I think will save them a lot of fuel getting stuff up into suborbit.
Love it. Stan, we're absolutely out of time. I want to say thank you so very much for your gift of time tonight. Happy Thanksgiving. And this will be our last show for the week. May God bless everyone. Have a great night.
Night.